What's up, guys? I'm your host with the most, Mr. Joe, with the Youth Force Chronicles podcast. I have Ethan, Levi, and our special guest, Roy Callahan from Pop Plus Ultra Coffee. Listen, guys, it's going to be a good time. So let's see what this episode holds for us. Let's get it.
Are you ready?
Okay, so guys, I hope y'all are doing well. It's after Christmas and the New Year's, and all I can say is, I haven't seen you since last year. How are you doing? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Same here.
Same here. Okay, so what's new with you all?
My haircut.
What haircut? You didn't get one.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a good point. Okay, new year, new you. Okay. Levi, what's in your world?
I mean, I got this new hoodie, I guess.
So. Okay, new hoodie. I like that. New hoodie. It looks good on you, man. Red's a good color. And Roy, man, what's new with you?
Well, we just finished our first year at Plus Ultra, and I'm working on getting the second shop up and going as well. It just opened at the end of November. So wow. Staying busy.
Oh my gosh, that is busy. Two shops? New year?
All right.
Oh my gosh.
Same me.
Same you. It's like, I don't change. Changing is for quitters. But anyway, so this is our show for Youth Force. This is a podcast that's for teens by teens. And we get to talk with special guests who tell us about their jobs and careers. That's something that's different for everybody, and that we get the opportunity to learn about what's out there. And so, Roy, before we get into that, let's just have some fun. Let's just talk real quick. Okay, so here's some new things that's going on. I love Marvel, and if you don't know that about me, I love Marvel. Most specifically, I love Spider-Man. I don't know if I could be Spider-Man, I would be Spider-Man. Like, that's just how I feel. If you tell me that somebody else is better than Spider-Man, we might have problems. It is what it is. But how are you feeling? It's because I've heard about the new Madam Web movie, and I just need to talk about it. Have you guys seen a trailer for it by any chance?
I have.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of the other Sony movies, so I don't really know what's going on in that movie. So I'm not entirely sure.
You haven't seen?
I've not seen Venom 1 or 2 or Morbius.
Oh my gosh. But did you see the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
Yes.
Okay, that's all that matters.
So you're saying Andrew Garfield is better than Tom Holland?
Always.
Are y'all saying Tom Holland for and Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield?
For Spider-Man part, yes. Andrew Garfield is better than Tom Holland for Spider-Man, but for Peter Parker...
Are you guys saying that they're both better than Tobey Maguire?
Always.
No.
No.
Yes. Okay, that's second.
Roy, chime in on this. How are you feeling? Are you a Toby, Andrew, or a Tom fan?
Toby.
Toby. Oh, he went with the original. What is that, 2001?
I think, like, without Toby Maguire, like, we wouldn't even have, like, worried about the MCU. Like, because, I mean, X-Men 1 was popular, but Spider-Man 1 was, like, the first, like, superhero movie that they just started, like, making bank on.
Oh, for sure. Have you guys ever seen the blooper of, I think, the same time that X-Men, the first one, that was done by Fox, was being filmed at the same time as Spider-Man was with Tobey Maguire? And supposedly, in this blooper, Spider-Man has showed up in one of the fight scenes in his outfit all ready to go, but they never used it.
In X-Men?
Yes.
Really?
Like, X-Men with the original cast, like, very old-looking. Like, you can tell it came from the early 2000s.
Yeah, I just rewatched the first X-Men movie, like, a week ago.
How does it make you feel?
A little bit nostalgic, I'm not gonna lie. And also, I watched X-Men First Class for the first time the other day, too.
The first time?
Yeah, first time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's That's a good one, I will have to say.
Yeah, it was really good. I was shocked by how good it was.
But anyway, to backtrack now, to go back to Madam Web, to talk about... So recently, they have just announced that they're going to not focus on the Tom Holland Spider-Man, which I think that's what they were trying to do. Because I think the premise of the story is that they are talking about Madam Web protecting Peter Parker's mom while Peter Parker is in the womb to make sure that Spider-Man happens. It's interesting.
I personally don't know a whole lot about Madam Web. My knowledge is just from the 90s TV show. It's from the Spider-Man TV show from the 90s, and that's my knowledge of Madam Web. And in that show, she's an old lady. So.
Yeah, Madam Web is way younger. But anyway, okay, so what are your thoughts? How are you feeling about all of this? Have you seen it, Roy?
I have. It's probably a hot take, but I think that superhero movies are just kind of a cash grab at this point.
I somewhat agree. I think they're on their way out in the culture. So, I think they're going
to... So what do you think is going to happen next?
I think they're just going to die down for a little bit and then... probably come back in probably about 20 years and be better than ever. So
20 years.
Probably.
Oh.
My opinion. In my personal opinion, they're just gonna stop for a few years because of the recent failures and COVID and just try and work some things out and maybe come back stronger.
If that's true, then our children, Levi, if we have children, we'll be like, what? There's a Spider-Man? And they're gonna be like, whoa. And we're gonna be like, seriously? Those are the most iconic characters ever.
And they're going to be like, kids.
No, it's this guy. I'm like, that guy?
So an alternative theory is I think that they will ride Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman's coat like they did Robert Downey Jr. And Deadpool 3 will like resurge the superhero genre.
That's what I'm wondering. But do you think superhero movie genres are... just going to be stopped? What do you think it could be replaced with? Do you think old action movies of how they did things back then will come back to surface? Because now these days, everything that's been done in the past is coming back. You have
cassette tapes.
I mean, yeah, cassette tapes, record players. What else? Boom boxes coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see a movie studio make a good Western franchise.
Oh,
I think that would be probably a hit, especially with The Mandalorian, the Star Wars series, which is kind of a Western. It has that vibe and that feel to it of a classic Western movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that could come back and maybe take up some of the void of there not being superhero movies. Like there has been for the past 30 years.
I say Western movie, before I was like, they aren't so good because of the quality of them. Because they were shot back like 30 years ago or something. And so, but now I feel
30 years ago?
I don't know. Okay. Look, I don't know.
There was Western movies like with Tom Selleck from the 90s. But like most Western was between the 50s and 70s. And then they kind of went out and then sitcoms came in and kind of took that place.
Okay, but I'm saying like, so now I feel like Western movies would be amazing because now it's not going to be shoddy craftsmanship and like really bad graphics for it. It look more realistic.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they've come a long way with like acting, like actors have come a long way with their, how they perform, and I think they could really make some great Western movies.
I just want, if they bring Western movies back, I just want to see them do the super close-ups when it comes to like
a duel.
Yeah, the duels and all that stuff. And bring back
draw.
What's that one song from The Good, The Bad, The Ugly? It's like
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
That would be so interesting to see how they would re-innovate that style Like, what would the concept be? Would it, how, or do they, or do you think they could take modern times and turn it into a Western?
Office Western. Oh, yeah? You didn't give me the race? Wow! Stibler.
I'll meet you on the rooftop.
Yeah. I don't know about all that. I think they could just go back to a classic Western, you know. I think personally, that would be really cool to see. Because, I mean, we've had Western movies recently, like there was a Netflix movie, Ridiculous Six,
and then
that movie was hilarious. And then there was, what's the one with Johnny Depp? The Lone Ranger? And then there's...
The Lone Ranger? Is that the one where it's a Western cowboy and a...
Yeah, and like Johnny Depp is like an American Indian?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Then there's like cowboys and aliens, and then there's just been a lot of.
I will say, I don't think those movies were done well.
I think I haven't seen most of them in a long time, but like, I think if they brought it back with good writers, they could make some pretty good Western movies. So
that's fair. Okay, so let me ask y'all this question. If you could come up with a three sentence introduction story for your Western character, how would you describe it?
I'm not sure. I would have to really think about that.
Okay.
So the man when he was three, almost died to a fire three times. And the last sentence would be, became the sheriff after killing everyone, almost.
Oh my gosh.
Dang. What? So you created a town where it's just you.
Poetic.
He's like, it's just me, myself, and I. Oh, that would be the best West. That would be a good Western name. Me, myself, and I in the West.
Just was like, in the bar, he was like, can I get a sarsaparilla? Just like, pops off the counter. Sure, right.
He has some mental disease where he's multiple characters.
Yeah,
he's like, just like Moon Knight, except the entire town.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, let's hey, just turn,
let's just turn Moon Knight into a Western.
That would be awesome. Did you watch Moon Knight?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best Marvel shows they've made.
I really hope they come out with another season soon.
They will. They probably will.
I'm excited for What If Season 3. There it is.
Thank you to our sound man. Okay, so Westerns and Marvel aside, let's get into the meat of what we do this podcast for. And so with this podcast in this section, we're going to get ready to talk about some jobs and careers. To talk more about Roy, Roy has his master in business, and he has taken his knowledge and started up his own business and made a coffee shop. And so, Roy, would you care to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So I graduated with my undergrad like during the height of COVID. Mm-hmm. And so jobs were not findable whatsoever. And so I was selling my anime collectibles like from my personal collection just to like make ends meet. And people had all that stimulus money. So that was working very well for me.
It's like, thank you.
And so I thought like, well, man, if I'm doing like this much, maybe I could just like do this for like a living. But then like everybody's money started to dry up and that slowed down. But I had done coffee to get through college. And so I'm like, well, what if I combine the two ideas and like have an anime themed coffee shop?
Yeah.
So like while COVID was going on and there was nothing better to do, I started like kind of like conceptualizing and like writing down like all these ideas. And then my undergrad was in chemistry, which like taught me a work ethic, but not useful for running a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to might as well sharpen the axe a little bit more. And I got an MBA like while the world was shut down anyways. And then that kind of gave me like a jack of all trades-esque approach to it. So like I'm able to like do my own marketing and like my own taxes and all that jazz. which if you don't have working capital, I highly suggest being able to do it all yourself.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's all the prep that I did. And then I opened up the first Plus Ultra Coffee in Bradley Square Mall at the beginning of last year. And I just put what was left of my personal collection on the walls for the decorations. I networked with the Small Business Development Center, and they hooked me up with people that were able to get me the equipment that I needed at a price that I could afford. And then it's just been kind of a learning as things go since then. I'm in a kind of a destination location, so I can't just depend on like somebody seeing me on the side of the road and be like, oh, coffee, I want coffee. Right. I have to take more of like an event approach. So we do like trivias every other Saturday, and we have improv shows and game nights. And I do that to get people in there. And then sometimes, ideally most times, they will come just like on a random weekday because that event got them in the shop the first time. Also, it's just my opinion, but Cleveland doesn't have a whole lot of stuff to do. And so it's great to be able to have a space that's that size, that people that are interested in a niche that isn't necessarily represented like at all in our area can come and like hang out with one another.
Okay. Hey, do you guys have any questions for him about jobs and careers with starting up a business and a coffee shop?
Yeah. So what could you just kind of describe what it was like, you know, starting your business? Slash like your brand.
Yeah. It was scary. I hadn't done it before, and you know, it's different than like working for somebody. Like working for somebody might be a drag, but you're guaranteed money at the end of the day. And you need to be like prepared out the gate, especially that that money that's coming in isn't necessarily making it to your pocket, because you have to like pay your rent and pay back the like loans on the equipment and everything. So that was something that I thought that I had mentally prepared myself for, but the amount of time to get out of that hole was not exactly what I had in the back of my head. So there's that kind of financial aspect. You need to be prepared to work very hard, especially out the gate. Like my shop's only open 50 hours a week, but there's like a bunch of like I have to do inventory and do like my social media and marketing and everything. So those 50 hour weeks are really looking like 70, 80 hour weeks. And it was like that the first like 6 months before I like finally had like saved up enough to bring on somebody part time. But as hard as it is to work, if you're willing to do that, I think that it is very rewarding. Like I don't necessarily make as much as if I had used the MBA to go work for somebody else. But I enjoy what I'm doing. And so like that 80 hours doesn't really feel like 80 hours.
Yeah.
I have a question real quick. How much is your coffee?
How much is my coffee?
Well, that's a good question.
Is $2.74 for drip coffee after tax. I think that Inman Coffee might be the only coffee in town cheaper than me. I could be wrong, but off the top of my head, they're the only ones that are. And then specialty coffees are anywhere from $5.50 to $6. But I tried to price it the best I could, but you also have to like take into account you're using a $7,000 machine to make it. And if that breaks, then you got to pay for fixing it. So,
ooh, you know, that actually makes sense. I can understand why coffee can be expensive now these days with expensive machines. I've checked out some commercial espresso machines recently, and I'm like, oh, this is like $5,000. $5,000 for just a piece of,
and that's for a one group head machine.
Yeah.
The second one on there and it's at least $7,000.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I have a question real quick. So the biggest thing that I know people in today's time and age will think about going to college. And so I know it's a big conversation too. And so when it comes to your degree with your master's and all that, how applicable is it to you running your business now?
Okay, so I probably would not have gotten that master's degree. I was just already like so far in the hole with the undergrad that like what's another couple thousand dollars of student debt with the figure I already had.
Yeah.
An MBA looks really good on paper too, like if I do need to kind of like audible later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not as helpful as I expected it to be, because it's you like learn very broadly and not very deeply, like even in that master's program. and like just my personal opinion, like my opinion, nobody else's, maybe some other people's, but not everybody's. I think that unless you're going into like STEM or something that like you're going to for sure see an ROI on that undergrad or master's degree, that you're better off just like getting the job experience with as saturated as the undergrads are nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll like want to edit that out when you're telling kids this, but that's just my personal opinion.
No, these are some stuff to think about. I know that I've seen even some businesses who are getting ready to consider taking a bachelor's degree off of the requirements. And this is something to think about because being Boys and Girls Club, we want to make sure that college is a priority, especially education, because we want to make sure that when you guys are students here, when you guys go out, like we want to make sure that whatever you choose to do, you will be able to find the right place that's going to provide you the right knowledge and the best knowledge that you can get when you're doing this. And so, but seeing how a lot of people are having issues with college and the debt, and that comes with it, the mental break with it, we got to make sure that we, when it comes to college, that not just to make it a priority, but to make sure that you know what you're doing before you go out into the real world or before you graduate high school. This is why we do what we do, because for us, we want to help people find what they're going to be most passionate about. We don't want you just go and be like, oh, I want to do this and not have any knowledge about it and then go waste money. Like, college should be a place where students go say, like, I want to further my career. I want to make sure that I'm going to get what I'm paying for. Like, not the mediocrity stuff. I don't want them to feel like they go and just waste their money just for the sake of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there's too many times that, I don't know, you may be able to speak more into it where it's like, oh, you got to go to college. You got to go and make sure you get that degree. But it's like, I'm not sure if I made sure I got the right degree because I was told to go to college, you know?
Right. And I also want to like caveat, like if you are going to go that route, that piece of paper isn't the only like aspect you need to be working on in that time. You need to be trying to get internships and, you know, get job experience, because they don't want just the piece of paper. They want like 3 to 5 years of viable experience, mm-hmm. which for a 22, 23 year old, like unless you just started like getting that experience right out of high school, like you're not going to have. So those internships are really helpful. And lots of big companies are going to kind of like hire from within those internships. Yeah. Lots of my friends that have less education than I do have very high paying jobs where they kind of like took those internship opportunities and then made a career out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, do you guys have any more questions?
Yeah. So what kind of advice would you have for someone who wanted to start a business?
I would get a job in whatever that industry is. Like, I didn't just like wake up one day and decided I wanted to have a coffee shop. I managed the Go Cafe at First Baptist. I did my volunteer hours at Lee with Inman Coffee. I worked at Starbucks at Target while I finished up school. So I had a lot of experience and like knew that I would be fine doing that kind of work, because like you don't want to do like all of that investment of like time and resources and then kind of burn out within that first 6 months. So I'd recommend that. And like lots of those companies, I mean, if they're successful, they've already figured it out. There's no sense in reinventing the wheel. So I mean, other than making my drinks like less diabetes inclined than Starbucks, like I'm pretty much just copying their formula on lots of things. Because like people go crazy over it. Like Starbucks is a multi-billion dollar company. Obviously, like those recipes work. So why try to switch it up?
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that. You can learn like any industry that way, like IT, all of the above. I mean, that's what I would recommend, just getting the experience ahead of time. Oh, I'd also, one last like thing, like get that professional experience before you start something. But also go and get like as much kind of guidance as you can from small business owners. Lots of them are like really proud of like what they've done, what they've accomplished, and they won't like gatekeep that information from you. And so they're usually happy to help, because I'm not just like a straight up coffee shop. I went to every coffee shop in town, like, and there's a ton of coffee shops in town. I went to both the boba places. I went to like all the nerd places, like Dice Head, Blasted Tech Shop, anything that could possibly be related to what I was opening. I went to and like checked their prices and asked them like what's like the worst and best thing about like what they're doing and like what they wish they could do. And so I had all that information to work off too, because that's going to give you local information, which is, in my opinion, more important than like what you get like off just a Google search. So make sure that you're kind of taking every avenue possible when you're getting ready to start something.
Okay. Okay. So now I do got to ask, why anime?
So anime?
Yeah. Why anime?
So anime has gotten to, like, I would have gotten like beat up in middle, I did get beat up in middle school for like anime. It's not like, yo, a hypothetical.
Who beat you up?
Sorry. Water under the bridge. Not on this
podcast.
Yeah. But it's super mainstream. It's a super mainstream now. So I thought that it's getting more and more popular. Like One Piece, you know what One Piece is.
Yeah.
It just passed Batman as like the highest selling comic of all time. Batman has been around 60 years longer than One Piece, if that says anything.
Oh, wow.
And so my opinion is that we are getting ready to see a boom in anime like we saw in like the MCU like
right
10 years ago. And generally speaking, the first person to market gets the biggest bite of the apple. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little early to it. Like, I know I get like weird looks every time somebody reads kanji on my door, but I think that it's important to go ahead and get a head start on it before like everybody wakes up to like, this is popular now. Like Netflix has One Piece live action, and that's getting all sorts of people into it. My friend's mom, that's like in her 50s, started watching the One Piece anime because she didn't want to wait on season two of the live action. So,
oh wow!
I just think that it's going to be more popular than it already is, and then it's literally like there's nobody else in Cleveland. There's hardly anybody even like in the greater Chattanooga area that even like sells this kind of stuff and tries to reach this demographic. And so I thought it would be a good idea, and I enjoy it. So, and if you're going to commit your life to something, you better enjoy it.
That is fair. That is fair. Okay. So
never get married.
Oh my God.
No. I'm just kidding.
Wait, I just have to ask. You're hearing about marketing, but you got marriage out of that. How did you do that? Tell me your thought process.
Can you
elaborate on that? So he said, don't do anything. If you're going to do something forever, make sure it's something in your life. So I said, not married.
He made that connection so much faster than I did. Oh my God. So if I don't like it. Wow. And that's coming from a middle schooler. He knows now.
He's single, ladies. He's single.
But he don't want marriage, and that's okay.
I kind of do. I was just saying that.
Okay. Anyway, to bring things back, for people who's looking to start a small business or just any business in general, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is marketing?
It is very important. I did not put enough money into marketing my first year. I mean, in my defense, I didn't have money, but
that's fair.
Generally speaking, from what I've read and what the Small Business Center is recommended to me and like what I learned in marketing class is when you're first starting a business, you want to commit at least 10% of your budget to marketing. Last year I spent about 3% of my budget on marketing. And I am by no means a rich man because of it. So I'm getting ready to kind of, now that I have a little bit of working capital and I've been at it for a year, I'm getting ready to put a lot more into like Facebook advertising and work on my search engine algorithm or optimization and all of that. And marketing is tough because it is very important, but it is not very quantitative. So you can't really like see directly like how effective it is. And that's super stressful. But because I'm a numbers guy. So like all of the like pictures and stuff. I mean, if you've looked at my social media, you can tell that like he hasn't hired a marketing guy yet. So just kind of like throw it against the wall and hope something sticks. But yeah, if I would definitely recommend, you know, getting somebody that can take those high quality photos and can set your algorithms up and make sure that you're targeting your demographic appropriately. Because it doesn't matter how good your product is if nobody knows about it.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So marketing, that's important. Okay. Hey, do you guys have any other questions?
So what was like the main driving point for you for starting your shop?
So it was kind of just like the way that like timing and circumstance worked out. I had finished my degree and was going to go teach chemistry like at a high school level. But that got less enticing during COVID because teaching like 25 plus students on Zoom just didn't really seem like it would be my cup of tea. And then private sector stuff in chemistry, for the most part, requires a master's degree. And I got through that undergrad in chemistry, but I did not want to do another 2 years of it. And so I was kind of like looking for something else, which I mean, like you can go get a job in like pretty much anything that requires an undergrad with whatever undergrad for the most part. But I was looking for like something else to do because I decided that I didn't want to stick with natural science. And then because, like I said earlier, that like COVID kind of like dried up the drop market and I was selling the anime stuff, then I kind of decided I want to do an anime shop. And then I decided that that's not going to work when the economy is bad, which that was a good call because the economy is no longer bueno. I added coffee to it because coffee does bad even in a bad market because, you know, if somebody doesn't have like the money to go buy like a $20 lunch, they still have money to go buy a $5 coffee. People are still going to want that little treat for themselves. So it's almost like I diversified like my portfolio within my own business, because when the economy is good, people buy expensive anime collectibles. When it's bad, people buy coffee. And that was kind of, and I'm very like pragmatic, like going to let my brain lead over my heart. And that's kind of what made me decide to do what I did.
That's actually interesting. Okay, so I just want to talk more about that when you were saying the economy playing into this. That's such a, that's intuitive thought I would never would have thought of. Why, where did you come up with that idea or just that thought?
So I mean, like, I didn't just like say like, yeah, anime, let's do it. Like, I did my research, and like anime collectibles, because there's not a whole lot in like the Western culture right now, like the cheapest thing you can really get is a Funko Pop, and that's like $12 MSRP. So like, if you're having trouble like keeping your light bill on, you're not gonna spend $12 on a piece of plastic. And like, I understand that. I mean, I'm the same way. I wouldn't either. And so like, that's kind of like why I was like, I don't know that this will like work if I just do this. Because also, like, you know, with anime stuff, like people might come in and they might buy stuff, but then they've got what they need. They're not going to be back like until the next thing comes out. Coffee, you drink it, depending on like how the day is going, you might want another one in a few hours. And so I just kind of like thought about it. And then coffee is like an already practical job skill that I had because that's what I did through college. It's got a very low barrier to entry. That's why you see like a million coffee shops, because it doesn't take a crazy amount of money to start one. Please, anybody listening to this, don't start anymore in Cleveland.
Madisonville.
Yeah. So it's basically like, I mean, anytime you get into a business for yourself, it's going to be a risk to some extent. But I did as much as I could to mitigate that risk. So like, even worst case scenario right now, say like Plus Ultra closed tomorrow, like I'm not going to be like in crippling debt. I'll be able to like sell off my equipment and everything, and then that'll give me enough money to like last until I find the next thing. And that's kind of what I was doing, is like, I don't care to take risk, but I don't want to take like,
you don't want to gamble it all away.
Right. If you don't have to, it's wise not to do that, because, you know, you don't want to like spend your 30s and 40s fixing your 20s. You want to be nice to future you. You want to like, you know, not, you want to like not rack up a whole bunch of debt and stuff. So basically, I did what I could without having to accrue a lot of debt. Like, I bootstrapped that whole first store on like $12,000, which is like next to nothing for starting a business. And then as the money has started to come in, I've made it like look nicer. But that was all with like money. It wasn't with debt. And that's what I would recommend if you can do it. There's definitely like more aggressive strategies than that. Like, lots of people will be like, You need to have it looking like real nice right off the bat because that first impression. The upside to me is like, there's still probably like 99% of Cleveland that hasn't seen my shop. So it's going to get its first impression now that it's looking better than when it first opened. But I've had a year to build that following. So, and I've had a year to figure out what I'm doing at that low cost. Whereas if I had just like jumped on like Paul Huff or Keith Street right off the bat and was paying, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a month for rent, I would have had to close my doors 3 months in because I didn't know how to get people in there.
Yeah.
So it was like a learning experience. Find somewhere that's affordable and cut your teeth, work out all the kinks. And then once you know what you're doing, or at least think you know what you're doing, then you start taking a little bit more risks, because the more knowledge you have, the less risk the risks are.
Risk is sounding like a big theme right now, especially in today's society. We see a lot of younger people who are looking into the more creative type of workforce that are out there. And so it may not be resulting in like going to do the regular 9-to-5 job and just being stuck with that for the rest of their life. So when it comes to risk, I guess my question will be, what was the moment that you were going to say, this is it, here's the risk, time to do it now?
So what ultimately drove that nail in that coffin is housing prices. I had saved up some money like coming out of college, and like I would have had enough money to put like a down payment on a house before houses jumped like 30% and then interest rates went up 5%.
Right.
And then I was like, well, I can't afford that now. I've got this money. I'm in a pretty like safe living situation right now that like if I do have some months that I don't make money, that I'm not going to like be on the street because of it. And so it was kind of like, if I'm going to do this, now is the time to do this. Yeah. And I had been wanting to like try something like this. I had joked about it like in my like early 20s. Me and a friend were talking and like about an anime shop. And that was before anime was popular. It would have hardcore bombed back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, like things just kind of like slowly worked out. I had a bunch of time because of COVID that I had might as well just like, you know, conceptualize it. Everybody ran out of stuff to watch in English during COVID and started watching anime. So my demographic is now strong enough and it's just getting stronger. I was able to like pay my rent for a year with that money that I'd saved up. So I didn't have to like, you know, worry about like if the shop doesn't make money, like then, you know, I wouldn't have a place. But yeah, so all that together, I don't want to like ramble.
Yeah, no, for sure. So what impact would a Comic-Con have on your business?
Oh, goodness. Comic-Cons are amazing for my business. Convention centers do not like people who sell consumables. Like, I personally cannot get into very many Comic-Cons from like a sell my coffee standpoint because I don't want to compete with concession sales.
Yeah.
But I try to go to all of them that I don't like, that I'm not stuck at my shop for because of the networking opportunity. Like I'm on a first name basis with everybody that puts on like a con in Chattanooga for the most part. Like Metrotham Con let me sponsor their green room, and so I got a spot to like promote my shop for free, and everybody that's at a Comic-Con is going to be like, heck yeah, on that. Chattanooga Comic-Con even like hosted a few of the trivias for me and provided prizes for them because they had some anime voice actors there. So like my shop was able to help them and vice versa. And same with like Farley Con. And then like all of like the art you see on my walls and stuff comes from cons. And so I'm able to talk to those artists and work out deals with them and like consignments. I've met a friend now that he's a talent agent or a booking agent for like a bunch of B and C list voice actors. And so once I get to where I'm more consistently bringing in revenue, we're like in talks to have like a voice actor come into the shop and do like autograph signings and stuff. And so I like conventions just because I know that the people that I'm going to are going to be receptive. I've gone to some other networking events and, you know, like we need like our CPAs and like our bankers and everything, but they don't care about an anime coffee shop for the most part. So like just because there's a bunch of people there doesn't mean that it's people that are going to listen to you. Whereas like comic conventions are like guaranteed my people, like they're interested in what I have to say and vice versa. And so it's just smart use of my time and fun. Like, it's not very often you get to, like, you know, cosplay your favorite anime character while, like, talking business with people.
Right. Okay. So, I do want to ask, I got two more questions. These are really quick ones, though. So, what is your go-to coffee?
My go-to coffee is a iced caramel latte for two reasons. One, it's super easy to make, and two, it's super easy to clean up.
Ooh, that's all that matters right there.
Nice. And now,
my last question is, what is your hot anime take?
My hot anime take? The hottest one I've got is that Dragon Ball GT is better than Dragon Ball Super. They're both trash, but...
But GT's better.
But GT's better. If you had to pick one of those lemons.
That's interesting. Well, folks, this is our episode. It was a great one talking about small businesses and coffee. I mean, coffee's my favorite thing, and so...
I'm not allowed to drink coffee.
Well, you don't need coffee.
I seriously don't.
I'm your host with the most, Mr. Joe. We had Ethan, Levi, and Roy Callahan from Plus Ultra Coffee. Quick, will you tell us your days of opening?
Yes, our mall location is open Wednesday through Sunday, and our library location is open Monday through Friday.
And what are your hours?
They are 12 to 7 at the mall, open till 9 on Saturdays, and 10 to 5 Monday through Friday at the library.
All right. And so this is Youth Force Chronicles, a podcast for teens by teens. We'll catch you next time.
Are you ready? No, we're not.